Chedvach. Okay, tonight we're going to start Yad Hashem Reish Lamed Daled. It's the last simon in Hilchos Mekach Tois. The reason why I call it the last simon, even though obviously Mekach Tois continues on, is basically the remainder of the simonim from Reish Lamed Hey and on really don't have to do with Mekach Tois. Have other halakas governing a Mekach, there's on your Mekach Becharara, etc. Primarily, Mekach Tois is comprised of Reish Lamed Beis, Reish Lamed Gimel, Reish Lamed Daled. And Bezat Hashem, I hope tonight to cover Reish Lamed Daled. What we discussed in Reish Lamed Beis and Reish Lamed Gimel were different cases of Mekach Tois, like a Mum, Shnei Minim, Yafis Verois, we discussed last week. We also discussed concepts in Reish Lamed Beis, is what happens if the Lokeach, after he purchased the item he had, he used the item, he lost the item, he derived pleasure from the item, to the point where he cannot give the item back to the seller. And we discussed certain cases, he still has the right to tanya mekach tois, in certain cases not. There's one case in particular which is discussed, that when he purchased a soda and he already ate the peris of the soda, even though he has the right to tanya mekach tois, but they have to deduct the pleasure that he derived from eating those peris, whatever it was, that is deducted from his full refund. He doesn't get, let's say he paid $100 for the sod, he doesn't get back $100, he'll get back $90 because he had $10 worth of hana. What Reish Lamed Daled deals with is this inyan. When a lokeach buys something and he can't give it back because he ate it, do we deduct for his hana that he had? Specifically, what we're dealing with is when he ate something which was asr, whether it be asr midaraisa, asr midarabanan, asr ba'ana. He ate something that was treif, and we want to know what should be deducted because of that. Let's take a normal case. Unfortunately, it's all too normal. You have these scandals which come about. Must be like 15 years ago, there was a vinegar scandal, and many products were treif. There was a chocolate scandal, maybe 5-6 years ago. There was a milk scandal. I'm not going to get into whether it was kosher or treif, but let's say that it was treif. Can I, as a lokeach, go back to the seller and say, I want my money back? And then the seller say, well, where's the milk? He said, well, I had it for breakfast already, but I still want my money back because it was a mekach tois. That's what Reish Lamed Daled discusses. Let me just give you an introduction, basically, to the sifim. We can have different variables. We have, like I said, a nisa deraisa, a nisa derabonin, and then something which is osbano, side deraisa, side derabonin. What the first sif is going to discuss is something which has both problems. It's a nisa deraisa and it's osa bahano. It's going to be loizu avzu. The second sif is going to discuss things which are osa midaraisa but not osa bahano. The third sif is going to discuss something which is osa only midarabonon. And finally, at the end, what we're going to discuss is arhano. Now let's start and we'll work it out. I would suggest that to hold off questions till after we do two sifim so we get a feel for what's going on. Let's start. Reish Lamed Daled sif aleph. Hashekher is a bechor, if someone shechs a bechor or machroi, and then he sells it, v'noidu shalo hereu l'mamcha. And then it was known, people realized that he had not shown it to a mamcha. The halach is, if you have a bechor, you're allowed to shech the bechor, if it has a mum, provided that you show it to the mumcha, and the mumcha gives you the right, he matters it for you to shech. If you don't show it to a mumcha, even if it had the mum, it's going to be also ba'ana. So now the halach is, Hashekher is a bechor mokhrei, v'noidu shalo yarei l'mumcha, he didn't show it to the mumcha. Masha ochal ochal, now let's just take the case of the machava, you ate half the animal, so masha ochal ochal, the half that you already ate, what could you do? V'yak the lois adomim, and he still has to refund that half to you, even though you already ate that half, you derived pleasure from that half, you had lunch that day, still you're entitled to a refund. V'nisha me'abasa b'yada l'kukus, and what's the remainder, which you did not eat yet, certainly is going to be a mekach tois, and you cover, and you're supposed to bury it, not give it back to the seller, and still v'yak the lois adomim, and still the seller has the chiyuv to give back, to refund the second half. In essence, what it is that the seller has to make a full refund, sign the first half, sign the second half. The reason why the Mechava broke it up is because we're going to see following Sifim, there might be differences in the two halves. But no matter what, even if you only ate half the animal, the seller has to make a full refund, even on the half that you already derived pleasure on, and even on the second half which you didn't derive pleasure on, you do not give it back to the seller, but you bury it. The reason why you do not give it back to the seller is because obviously this person is an avarian, he's a dangerous seller. We don't want to give it back to him because what is he going to do? Then he's going to sell it to somebody else. And we're going to have a problem. He'll sell it to a guy, and he's not allowed to sell it to a guy because it's also bahano. Now the case of bubukhar, like I said, it's also, aside it's also midaraisa to eat without a mum. There's a chazaka that it doesn't have a mum, so it's an isa midaraisa until you can prove that there was a mum. Second of all, it's also bahano. So you have two problems here. And the Machabis says, V'yaksul ha-sadomim, even in the first half, even on the half that you already ate and derived pleasure, you're entitled to a refund, and he cannot hit you with a charge of yohana. And the reason is, well, here, this is an easy one, this is an easy sieve, is because there are two reasons. First reason is because it's also bahana anyway to the mecha. So it's then ena v'zeloi chosa. I, Taka, had lunch that day, but the seller didn't have any chesaron because he wasn't going to do anything with that anyway. He couldn't do anything with it. It was also bahana. He sold it to someone. Well, he shouldn't have. He cannot do anything with it. So therefore, it's then ena v'zeloi chosa. So therefore, I'm potter. A second reason why I might be potter here, and it's going to work its way out in the following sifim, is because once something is also midaraisa, and he sold it to me intentionally, Chazal will koinis him, they find him, penalized him for doing such a thing, and therefore they didn't allow him to charge for hana derived from such an animal. If he was machal isa biyadayim to somebody, he was safalei biyadayim, he knew about it, and he nevertheless sold it, it's also midaraisa, and we penalize him, we fine him, and we don't allow him to collect hana. So there are two real reasons here why he cannot collect. There's yet a third reason, and that's really just an off take on the reason of why something which is also midaraisa, and that is the sma, it's mashmoisa gemara, like one tana that is, that something which is also midaraisa, if you eat it, and later on you found out that it was also midaraisa, you lost the whole pleasure of that lunch. You, at the time you were eating lunch, you enjoyed it. But now that you knew that you had pork for lunch, you don't really appreciate that, and therefore the chesaron outweighs the hana, the benefit that you had, the mias and whatever it is, and therefore it's as if you didn't have any hana altogether. And since you didn't have any hana, there's no basis for any charge because you didn't have any hana. That svara, I should point out, it need not be that the seller was intentional. Like the svara of knas, you want to kindness the seller for this adaraisa, you only could fine him if he intentionally did it, if he knew about it. That's the svara that we train him get. Like this new svara of the sma, it need not be that he did it intentionally, even if he was unaware of it, the seller was unaware, but the mice says, I, the end user, didn't have enough, so there's no charge. So I would have a right to tiny mekak toys, and I would be entitled to my full refund. Let me do one more sif, and then we'll take questions. They. Now this sif is going to discuss something which is also midaraisa, but it's not also bahano. Mechen ha-sheikhet para u-machra v'noida shi-trefa. And it was found out that it was a trefa, which is also midaraisa. Masha'achlo achlo, the part that you already ate, you ate. V'yakso lehem adomim, and you're entitled to a refund. U-masha'loy achlo, what you did not eat yet, Yaksaloya basa, here we're going to see why. You are allowed to return the remainder of the animal. But you're still entitled to a refund. So basically you're entitled to a full refund. But the second half, instead of burying, you have to return. Now the reason why here you're allowed to return the animal, the remainder, is because what are we worried about? We're worried about this seller was an avarian and he sold me basa, and we're afraid he's going to sell it to somebody else. Well, basically, once it's known that this person fed and sold trefa basa, his history, he's finished. He's no longer, he has to change profession. He's no longer going to be a butcher because we're going to be markers on him that he cannot sell meat ever again. So we're not afraid that a yid is going to purchase something from him. What we are afraid, and second of all, we're not afraid that he himself is going to eat it, because even though he was kal to feed others trefas, doesn't mean that he's kal enough and eat it himself. So we're not afraid yet that he's an avarian to eat it himself. He won't be able to sell it to any yid. The only real worry we have, the concern is that he's going to sell it to a guy. Well, the treif is mutter to a guy, so we have no problem. And Sif Aleph, even though there's no problem for a guy, but the problem is you're not allowed to sell Isiri Hano to a guy because you're deriving pleasure from the actual sale. The sale itself is the Hano, which is also Hano. So in Sif Aleph, what we're concerned is you're going to sell it to a guy and derive pleasure when it's also Hano, so we cannot give it back to you, we must bury it. However, in Sif Beis, where it's only also Midaraisa Tiva, but it's not also Hano, it's not a problem, we can give it back to the seller, no Takala is going to come out. But again, here too, because it's asim midoraisa, you are entitled to a refund. And again, these are the two sfaras that you have to work with. It's either A, there was a knas, because the seller knew about it and he deserves to be punished, or B, because since it's asim midoraisa, I, as the end user, didn't really derive pleasure now that I knew that I really ate and it's a midoraisa. Those are the two sfaras. So what should you do? Let's continue. The Mechaber gives another example. What happened? However, let's say if the buyer did not eat it himself, but rather he passed it along to somebody else, he sold it already to a guy, or he fed it to his dogs. Now he was unaware at the time that it was a treif. If he was aware and he used it or he sold it, that would hishtamshus b'laiva mechila. We're talking about this was all unknown to the buyer as well, but for some reason the buyer decided that he doesn't need to eat the meat, not because of a treif, he didn't know that yet, but because Tam he wasn't hungry and he decided to sell it to a guy or give it to his dog. So he had a pleasure from it. Then, but what was his pleasure in this case? Here, at this point in time, the pleasure that he had wasn't from kosher food. The amount of pleasure that they derived wasn't an amount of value of kosher food. And the reason is because since he fed it to dogs, you could feed even treifa. So for all practical purpose, had this been a treifa, he could have done the same exact thing. Selling it to a guy is the same thing. You need not have a kosher animal to sell to a guy. Even if you had a treifa animal, you could sell it to a guy. A guy doesn't care whether it's kosher or treif. So therefore, now that he sold it to a guy or he fed it to the dogs, the hanah that he derived from it was only a hanah worth the amount of a treifa. So there the halacha is, yuchashu imma tavach, you can deal with the tavach, al demei treifa. Here, let's give an example. A kosher animal is worth $300 and a treif animal is worth $200. So you're entitled to a $300 refund. That was the $300 you gave to the seller. It was a mekach tois. However, you did derive a $200 worth of pleasure from this animal because you fed it to the dogs or you sold it to a guy. And here we don't have the svaris of before that nafshu shaladim kaitabim, you didn't derive any pleasure because you ate it and it was meat, so you didn't eat it. You gave it to your dogs, you sold it, that was just fine. And you don't have grounds to penalize the seller either, because the Chazal said we only counted the seller if a takala came out. Had you eaten it, a takala came out, they would penalize the seller. You did not eat it, you sold it along, you sold it off to another guy, or you fed it to your dogs. So therefore, no takala came about. So therefore, there was no need to cancel the seller, and therefore, he's entitled to charge you for the hanah that you had. But the hanah that you had was only hanah of a treifa, and its value of a treifa is only $200. So the difference, he must return. He'll only refund you the $100 difference. That's what the Mechaber says. Yichashu matabach adamei treifa, v'yakzle matabach as a meisa. The tabach should give back the difference. V'chein din kol hamoicha dovet she'isachilas minatayr. And so too, anything which is awesome minatayr to eat, this is a cheshbon. If you yourself eat it and the takala happened, we cancel the seller and you're entitled to a full refund. If you used it in a way that it wasn't a problem, or you sold it, you fed it to a dog, whatever it is, then you have to you have to calculate the difference, and you're entitled to your refund, but you have to pay the seller for the hanah that you derived. Now, what would be in this case where you sold it to a guy, but instead of selling it to a guy for $200, you sold it to a guy for, let's say, $225. You were able to do better, you negotiated better with the guy, and you got a better charge. Let's say the average price for a treif is only $200, but you got $225. Now, when you go back to the seller, well, how much are you entitled for a refund? Are you entitled to the full $100? Or are you entitled only for $75? The source being is, well, I'm entitled to the $100 because I was the one who made $225 off the guy. The animals were only worth $200. The pleasure that I derived from this animal was only a $200 value, because that's all the treifa was worth. I used your $200 product, your item. That $200 item I used, I deserve to pay $200. I sold it for $225. That's my business. Or do we say no, that since Lamaisa you ended up with $225 from this lokeach, and namely, and whose animal did he derive this pleasure from? From the seller's item, right? Because the mekach was bottom, it was the seller's item. So Ketzad Yasa says, you are using someone else's item to make money. The $225 that you made from the seller's item really belongs to the seller, and he only has to refund you $75. Those are the two stodim. So Machloek is Achroinim. Many Achroinim learned that Taki only entitled to $75, because Ketzad Yasa says, Chayre Peparasa Shachaveray. However, the Pri Chodesh, and it's Mavu like that in the Rishonim, there was a Rabbeinu Geshem and Bacharis, and there's also Chubis Rimagash, which is Mavu like that. Actually, he's Moisef, I'll explain. He says, no, that since you only derived $200, that was the item that you took, it was a $200 item, then you're going to end up making money at the end of the day. You'll get $225 from the guy, and you'll be entitled to a $100 refund from the yid, from the seller, and you'll end up with $325. Minus the 3 year pay, so they have a net profit of $25. And the Rima Gash says the reason why, he says, because what caused the guy to pay $225 wasn't the product itself. What caused him to pay $225 is your expertise. You knew how to negotiate better, you might have fooled him. Whatever you did, that was your doing. And you could have done that with any item. I'll show you, if you give him a different trefa, he'll do the same thing. He could buy a trefa for $200 and flip it to $225. He knows how to make money out of trefas. He's a Rumpelstiltskin. He can take a $200 item and make $225. That is his own doing. And therefore, the seller is not entitled to it. Had he, let's say, taken the item, and it wasn't his expertise which got $225, then in a chanami, the Rima Gash is moider, that whole payment, that whole price, would be misyakas back to the seller, and he would have to reckon with that. But in a typical case, it's the buyer who did it, the buyer who caused it to be done, and therefore the buyer is entitled to keep that difference, and he gets the full refund, well, the full difference of the refund between a treif and a kshera, that's $100. And now you can have a case, just one more minute, you can have a case, let's say the guy goofed, and instead of selling it for $100, or $200, sorry, he sold it for only $100. He made a bad deal. He wasn't familiar what treifas go for, and he undersold his treifa. Well, the Pri Chadish says the same halacha, that is, that he's still only entitled $100 back. You took a $200 item from the seller, so therefore you only have to refund your $100. You went ahead and took the $200 item and sold it, and undersold it for $100. That's your loss, that's your hefsid, that's your doing, that's nothing to do with the seller. What the seller provided you with was a $200 value, and therefore what you did with it after that is irrelevant.
First of all, this kind of knad was not given because there's not a color that came out. You also said that this is the same in his talking when the moicher did not know it was a trefa.
Now, if the moicher didn't know, then it wouldn't be grounds for a knas. The whole grounds for a knas is only if the seller knows. It's the buyer who didn't know. The buyer, this whole sif is talking about the buyer had not known that it was a trefa. The moicher knew all along. He bedafka.
So the only reason we're not coining is because there was not a color.
Correct.
Now, how do we know, first of all, maybe the guy sold it to a yid?
If you can prove that, eventually fine. But until you prove that, there's no knas. The dynamics between you and the meicher is a real mekach tois, and he could charge you fine. No, you can't say, well, you deserve a knas because we don't know what happened to it. If you fed it to a dog, certainly it's history. But even if you sold it to a guy, we assume the guy ate it. Maybe he sold it to another guy. Until you could prove he sold it to a yid, we have no problem.
Where it comes?
And first, why in the safek? He didn't show it to the mukha.
Okay, well, first of all, Kozman, you don't know if it has a mum or not by Bechor. There's a chazakah that it definitely doesn't have a mum. There's a chazakah in the car that doesn't have a mum, and therefore it's also even misafik midoraisa, because you shall on a chazakah. However, Kivega does point out, which we'll see, that even in cases which is a safik, and there is a girsa like that in Rashi and Bukharis, that even when it's a safik, it's not the same halakh is applied.
What's pshat in this lekeach that he's giving a kosher meat to his?
He didn't have refrigeration, and he, for some reason, he changed his mind. He didn't need it, so therefore he gave it away.
So why is he's only selling it for $200? It will be a trefa.
Correct, because you can't charge. If you have a kosher piece of meat and you want to sell it to a guy, he's not going to pay more than $200. If you can go to ShopRite and buy it for $200, he doesn't have to pay you more. So all you're going to get from him is $200. Even if you and the guy believe it to be kosher, you're only going to get $200.
I mean, to ask you that this person can consider that he got full anor from the meat.
He didn't get full anor. He only got $200 value out of the meat.
Otherwise, he would have got more.
He's better than the regular meat. He was giving it to the meat. He wasn't giving it right.
Maybe he always gets kosher meat too.
Right.
Yeah,
it could be. Well, let's hold off on that. Could be. I'm going to tell you a story about what maybe is bothering you. But
the same problem. He didn't care about his money. He's giving it to the dog. So why should we care about the fact that a trade is only worth less?
The market was kosher.
the case we understood in the stomach, the other chayim would agree to bring kaddish because he was.
I agree. I didn't say that, but pashtis, even the other chayim would agree. In that case, we was mafsid to be yadayim. And obviously you don't have the inverse for a case that yes, there's no such thing. So obviously they would agree that you lose out.
He said, Sifaldi said one of the sources was a knas. So what happens if the mic would be mighty and be the mighty of the knas?
Might be knas with the rabbanon. There's a knas rabbanon. There's a machlekes shach in Yamshar Shloima. Whether we say such a concept might be knas the rabbanon, and it's in Shimpei Ches. I don't know if you can apply the same ideas of might even light those who hold. The Ksais brings down from Rishonim Ben Yenison, which Taka holds of might be knas. Even though those Rishonim hold, I don't know if this is goes under the regular gedarm of knas. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, the other thing is that how do you value what it's worth? There's an average, like the hardings, the lowings, the mid.
Okay, we want to know, this is a basic Shuma question, really, think of Kimmel, but in everything, Ano, Mazik, Zela, how do you determine a value? Well, we're going to get to him yet to show him a number of Rechav Zayin by Ano more, but basically just leave with this, the smashy to his, is that, which is a Rashbam, is you take three prices, and you go bust to the middle price, and that's because of Roiv. And here comes the Roiv. If you have an animal worth $80 and another person sells it for $90, another person sells it for $120, the halach is it's nikva as $90. The price is established at $90 because there's a roif saying it's $90. Where's the roif? Well, two out of three merchum say it's not worth more than $90, and two out of three merchum say it's not worth less than $90. So kumdais is a roif saying that it's worth $90. So that is the price $90. There are others in Maramba Magis, Machab Magis, but that's the halach. That's how we follow. We'll get to it. Yitzchak Shem Reish Kav Zayin.
He's a shomer on it? During that period of time?
Every lokeach, like we discussed at the end of Reish Lamed Beis, every lokeach has huchu shomer. In this case, he had not yet known about the mum. If he did not know about the mum yet, he would only be a shomer chinam. When he knows about the mum until he returns it, then at that point he's a shomer sakal, like we discussed, and then if he notifies the seller that he wants to give it back, then he goes back down to a shomer chinam. But here's the first stage. He himself did not know about, so he'd be a shomer chinam. He wasn't fishay, he didn't do anything drastic, he did something which might be considered normal. We're going to a different halakha we learned to Reish Lamed Beis, if it was a shina vasa mamacher. But if he did something normal with it, he ate it himself. He didn't do anything unusual with it.
No, I'm just trying to understand as far why he can't gain anything from the seller.
Oh, that's because that's a different story. If you have like by Shem and Mazor, but if you have an item which belongs to somebody else, you can't profit on someone else's item. Anything which comes, any profit coming from the item, is automatically channeled to the person who owns the item.
So there's no
Maislatich. Right, the whole thing was a joke, right? Because it looked like we were buying and selling, but retroactively, once we undid the Mechir, because it was a Mekartais, it ended up, I went ahead and I took a seller's behema and I sold it to a guy. I'm just a third bystander. I took a seller, an animal of a guy, of a yid, and I sold it to a guy, and whatever I make on that, because of my shrewd expertise, whatever it is, that's, I'm entitled to that. Just I have to pay the seller for the mea trefa. In which case,
when you charge
$225, there's no concept really. Mariah can read that. Mariah is when you're really saving something. Here, you're giving him.
$25.
You're saving him. You're overcharging. You overcharge this guy.
You're saving the seller.
Yeah, that's we'll discuss it, not for now, but it really doesn't pass in my rear cover there. Let me tell you the following story that we had many years ago, and it could happen often. It is a simple story, but it could happen often. A person buys medication. This was a mice. He bought medication. Let's say he had the flu, he had to buy antibiotics, and he was masupik if he's going to use it. He decided he wait one more day. He waited, and spoke to him. He started to get better without the antibiotics. He ended up not using it. Now, the federal law is that you're not allowed to transfer antibiotics, so there's nothing that he could do with it. He can't give it back to the pharmacy. He has no one to give it to. That's it. Finished. So he went, and he poured it out. While he was pouring it out, he noticed that the antibiotics were spoiled. So now he went back to the seller and he told the seller, that's a mekaktois. I purchased medicine and the medicine was no good. It was spoiled. Now obviously, it was spoiled already within the time that it was supposed to last. It was a grounds for mekaktois. So he told the seller the whole story. So the teller told him, Bishlam, if you wanted to use the medicine, that's hakamekak tois. But you ended up spilling it out anyway. For you to spill it out, you could have spilled out spoiled medicine, good medicine, doesn't make a difference, spill out whatever you want. But I didn't do anything wrong, and there's nothing wrong with the mechir, and you didn't lose. There was no downside on your perspective. Nothing was wrong on your end. You could have spilled out good medicine and spoiled medicine the same. So therefore, it's hakamekak tois. That was the shaila. Which is interesting that this shayla, there is no right to the shayla in the whole Reish Lama Beis, Reish Lama Gimel. You go through Mekaktoyes, Mum, Yavis Roish, Neiminim. There's no mention, and we talk about usage, there's no mention what happens if you did something to it that was irrelevant of the Mum. However, here, Lachari is a raya. This case was a person purchased an animal, fed it to his dogs, or sold it to a guy, thinking that it was kosher, but he decided to sell it to a guy anyway. And then it came out, it was nisbar, it was noida, that it was treifa. And what's the halacha? The halacha is he goes back in tanis mekatois. And he has to reckon with the seller, how much profit he had, how much hano he had. But we don't see halacha here that the seller claiming, well, to sell it to a guy makes no difference to you, so I didn't do anything wrong. Or to feed it to dogs, you could have fed a kosher animal, a treifa animal the same, and I didn't do anything wrong, and therefore it's not a mekatois. We don't see that. We see, forget. That avada, it's a mekach tois. I mean, now we're reckon the hana that you derive from it. But it's zikha grounds for a mekach tois. And that's how we pass it over there by the case of the medicine as well. That avada will be a mekach tois, and in that case, since he didn't derive any pleasure, it was spoiled anyway, he spilled it out, so avada, he was entitled to his full refund. Which just explains a little bit, it gives us an understanding of the dynamics of mekach tois. Basically, what we see is that you bought something, and even though it didn't really affect you, b'chalal, but since at the time of the purchase, it was not something that you were supposed to buy, and it does affect normal people, even you at the time of the purchase. That it's a mum. That would be grounds for a mekach tois, even though later on, subsequently to it, it didn't make a difference to you, and it's still a mekach tois. Any questions? Correct. That's right, it was a mekach tois. He did. Yeah.
This person that poured the medicine, he was the Yahish on the medicine, no? He wasn't. What to him made no difference. I don't understand.
It was Hefka? What do you mean? He had the item, while he was pouring it out, he noticed. It was spoiled at that point in time. It's a mekach tois. Even had he spoiled, let's say he spilled the whole entire thing in, and then he found out.
He didn't have to derive any anoa from it. It was moichel de anoa from the medicine.
After the seal, it turned out that he no longer needed the medicine. Correct.
The moment he opened the bottle and he was ready to pour it down the toilet, he was moichel de anoa from the medicine.
Moichel anoa, but retroactively, it wasn't his medicine. Retroactively, it was a mekach tois. Basically, what happened was, is he claimed a mekach tois, so retroactively, he undid the mechir, it didn't take place. So what happened? It's as if I walked into a pharmacy, took medicine of theirs, I'm not the buyer, took medicine of theirs, spilled it into a sink, and while I was spilling it into the sink, it was... So he can't tell me give me back the medicine.
He can turn it back to the manufacturer.
So, if he could turn it back to the manufacturer and do something out of it, then maybe you have a taina there. Maybe. I don't know if that's true, brother. I hardly doubt that that's true. But even if that would be true, you have to know, did he do something which was normal or not? If he did something which was normal, maybe Taka is abnormal. But we had a halacha before in Sif, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, Reish Lamed Beis, that if you do something which is normal, let's say you had Zroim at the end of Reish Lamed Beis, I planted it, and now the seller says, give me back the seeds which didn't grow. And the buyer says, well, tough luck, they're in the ground. If you want, you can go get them, you can find them. It is a mekach tois, even though I'm not giving back the seeds. As long as I did something which was expected of me to do with the seeds, namely plant them, it's fine. So you want to say pouring down the sink bottle medicine is not normal?
If you would have put it in that spoon, you would have realized the first thing, that the thing is spoiled.
Okay, but I don't think the seller has any advantage of having the medicine back. But if the case has changed, maybe. Yeah, fuck yeah. There you now even give it back, and you cover it, and you're still entitled to a full refund over there, because he has no hanoi, he can't do anything with it. Correct. No, there is this taka asar. What he's saying, there is ground to asar. They're saying in Sif Yud Ches, we have such a case. He tined it, the seller over there tined it, that you did mess me up, because had you given it back to me, I would have been able to go back to my supplier in time and give it back and be entitled to a refund, and everything would have been fine.
Spoiled milk.
if you pour it down the toilet, you go back to the store, the guy can start giving back the milk, and he'll return it to the supplier.
And now he won't be able to tie into that because it's what? Okay, I probably, if you give back the bottle empty, he'll be able to go back to the seller as well. So he'll be able to go back, even if it's empty probably. If you give back the code and the bottle and everything, probably the owner. I don't know the mitzvahs. But let's get back to, let's say, these scandals, right? So you have a vinegar scandal and ended up, you used the vinegar and it affected then dozens, if not hundreds of products then, because everyone was on the same hashkacha. That's how it works here in America. Unlike Eretz Yisrael, that there are organizations that, let's say, Badat and Eretz Yisrael, they won't give hashgach unless they get every single product down the line. But in America, we're beachters, and all the hashgach organizations trust everyone else. So therefore, they can never tell you a sales pitch that their hashgach is better because they themselves rely on all the other hashgachas. And then all of a sudden, I forgot which. Which hashgach blew it. Which hashgacha blew it on the vinegar end, and all the products that use vinegar afterwards, all of a sudden we have problems. So now, I already ate this numerous times. I don't remember if it was this at the Raisa Derabonin then, but let's take Derabonin because it's the Ainesik, okay, but it could be, you have to know, it will play itself out. But let's say you have cases, which is a deraisa, milk, which was treifa, from a treifa, and you can play it out, it's a deraisa, so had you already eaten it, you could still tie in a mekach tois. Now when you're going back to the cell and he would like to charge you for the hano, well, that will depend. If it was awesome with deraisa, then either A, nafshe shaladam kreitza behen, and you didn't have any hano, so you're still entitled. Local grocery was unaware, I hope he was unaware, but yet the manufacturer or the people in the plant knew about it. Well, at that point in time, you could have a funny situation that this guy you cannot penalize because he didn't know about it. But since a takala did happen, he'd be able to go back to his supplier and claim Mekach Tois for the last year that you supplied me products which had this treifa milk or vinegar, whatever it was in it, and I'd be entitled to a full refund because we'll penalize the seller. Not only that, the Nesibis goes with this and takes it further, is what happens if you use it. Let's say he sold you this treifa, and you made a chasana that night, and you used this meat to supply for the guests, and now he ended up treifing up all your dishes and everything. And let's say you can't, China, you can't cash it, whatever it is. So now the Nesibis wants to say, he believes, others agree with him, the Aruch HaShulchan, at least when he knows about it, that yes, we will penalize the seller. Not only will he have to pay you for the price of the item, but al-garmi means should he expect you to cook with it and use it in a fashion that will treifen up other things, he is chayv mitzad garmi to pay you, to reimburse you for everything, for all your utensils that you use with this treifen meat. It could become costly. If he knew about it. If he didn't know about it, then A, there's no reason to cancel him, and B, you won't have chiyuvim agarmi. The Okshuka spells that out clearly, that if it's b'shogeg, there's no chiyuvim agarmi, so you wouldn't be able to penalize him. But let's say he knew about it. Or let's say we'll take it a step further, which chas v'shalom, this would be the case, is let's say the manufacturer was a guy, he doesn't know the difference. We got to have the Maisa a number of years ago, also a glycerin problem and candies. Also, there was a scandal. But let's say the seller was unaware, but the mashkiach was aware. So then you could maybe, it's a stretch, it's a little more of a stretch, but you could maybe say then that you'd be mechuyev, the mashgiach, that is, would be mechuyev al tzuchus garmi to reimburse all the loichim and whatever, all the treifas and everything which comes out about it. It could be a stretch, but there are obviously, like I'm just trying to point out, serious consequences from here. Any questions before we move on?
But the case where the guy spilled the medicine, there was no mechila here. There's no real mechila on the place. The guy beside doesn't want to use it. He spills it out. He was never mechila.
You know, he definitely wasn't mechila the tefillah. That's for sure.
Right.
No,
that's the difference.
Any other questions? Okay, let's move on.
What about the amount of money? The retailer. The retailer. How do you figure out who pays for what?
Well, he ate it. He didn't eat it. If he didn't eat it, you just give it back. If you,
he ate it,
so the each one has to done from their end. I mean, the end user will deal with the retailer and see with the dynamics. He might be entitled to a full refund even though he ate it. And then the retailer will go back to his wholesale and get a full refund for the price he paid. That is the wholesale price. The wholesaler will go back to manufacturer and get the manufacturing price. But each one, you have to go back. And by the way, just to point out, even though we said this many times, it's kedai to chazer again, is that, let's say, in this case, it was a milk scandal and it was a certain company which had a problem, and I go back to the co-op or whatever it is, KFS, and they say, well, take it up with ABC company. That's not a taina. I take it up with you because I purchased it from you, and I have a mekatois, and you have to refund the money. You can maybe go back to take it up with that person. That would be in a case where it's kedai to cancel him. Otherwise, you know, it could become sticky.
Why is the vice law of Titus? I'm saying, I'm guaranteeing on the OU stock, whether OU was right or wrong, that I'm not guaranteeing at all. They made a mistake with the scandal, and it's all trade.
But you know I want a kosher animal. You know I'm buying a kosher animal.
I'm selling you price of a surface kosher by the OU. Whether you want it or not, it's your problem. I'm not telling you whether they're right or wrong. I'm not saying that's kosher. I'm saying it's kosher. All you said is kosher.
I hardly doubt that. You want to claim that there's no mekatois whatsoever because all I did is I gave you Yenin's product. Well, then you can stretch it to everything. No. Every time I sell you a car and the car is damaged, take it up with Toyota because I'm selling you a Toyota certified product. I don't think that's the case. You have an achrayus to me because you're my seller. It's true. You decided to buy a Toyota car, whatever your cheshbon is, but lamaisa is, you sold me this Toyota and I deal with you. If you sold me a product which you know, I'm not talking about stamazai, but you know I'm makbid on kosher, so then the stam. I'm no logara from a farmer who walks in that you know he needs a laradi. You know that I need it to eat with my supper tonight, and you provided me a tray for animal. Obviously, it's not fit for my use. It's a mekak tois.
So the sign in the drugstore that says we don't take any advice on kosher stuff in this drugstore, they'll still be hired. If it turns out it wasn't kosher.
Well, you're going to run into a different... By drugs, you stam have a child. It could be you don't have to be a makbid on kashrus. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But in terms of, does a sign in a store absolve a seller from all the zachrayis, what we saw before in Reish Lama Beis, Sif Zayin, that stam a general mechila l'chari does not work. You have to specify, even though it's treif, I'm still selling it to you. And obviously they're not doing that. Stamp to cover yourself, and you have fine print in the bottom of every contract, all fine print covering you for every problem, that's not going to work unless you disclose the problems.
I'm puzzled by you saying that the Mashkiach is a choy. Why is the Mashkiach a choy? He's not a line of sale.
No, the Mashkiach might be a choy there, because he was the only one who knew he should have been a whistleblower, right? He could have known, and he might have even known the problem, and therefore he didn't go ahead and he bedafka whatever he bedafka to save face or whatever to save the company. He didn't disclose the problem, and he knew they were going to sell it to people, and he knew people were going to eat it and trafen up their dishes. That could be the same svara, maybe of garmi. Everyone was relying on this mashkiach. Everyone's relying on this OU or whatever the hashkacha, and therefore if it goes wrong, he's at fault. If he knew about it, if he's amazed at it, or pesheya, if he's b'sheikig, obviously he's not at fault.
Just one quick question. This last case over here by Trefa, where he resold it, right? Let's say he would have gotten a high volume deal because he bought a lot of behemoths, and he got a better price from the Lekeach because he sold a retail. Does he have to give that benefit back to the Meicher?
It's a very good question. Let me just repeat the question. His question is, what happens if you purchase from the seller wholesale? How many items did you purchase from the seller? Let's say 10, and all of them were Trefa?
Let's say one was treif.
We had our locker before, but if you only have one is treif, then you can't pick and choose. Either you take the whole deal or you leave the whole deal.
I'm saying his extra amount of money.
Correct. I know what he got from the locker. I'm just saying between him and his supplier, he has just the option either to take the whole deal or leave. Let's say he decided to throw the whole deal back to the seller, and he already sold it one piece at a time, piecemeal to a person, and he got more money. There could be, I would have to be mine, but could be there, the Rimagash would be maida that goes back to the seller, because it wasn't this person's expertise. That is the value on the retail market of the product. He purchased it wholesale, he sold it retail. All that really belongs in the Mesiaches to the seller. It is Ketet Yasset Zeschere, but Purasa Shechavere. The Rimagash's case was that it was your expertise, your convincing, your sweet talk that got you more money, so it was your doing, so therefore you're
maybe the Rimagash
should
not be
made because
it's his own
character.
Selling it
10 times.
Yeah, you know, but that is that his expertise? Anyone could do it. It wasn't his and his lashon is it.
Selling it 10 times.
Charifusa, I think, is his lashon. I have to look up. I think his lashon is Charifusa. Charifusa.
Yeah,
could be. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have to be my into that.
The Rimagash holds it all over.
No, the Rimagash holds it. It's limited, that we don't apply the clock. Katie has a
scrambling. No,
I mean the whole thing. We pass him case of yes, as a
scribe. Is Rimi Gashi saying such a case also?
Oh, if he would have expertise.
Over there, or he's just saying the halacha over here.
He doesn't discuss about that case. He specifically talks about a case like this at Ribbit, which is Grada. From there, you see, in his case, you see that just the shtalas of passing along to the other person doesn't minimize the Surah case of the Yasazet. You still go back. Because, right, there was Shemesh and Muzzle Shemesh. He also did something. He passed along to the next Shema. And nevertheless, we say everything is Mitzyachas back to the original owner. It's only something that you did. It was your doing. It was your input that deserved that got this.
That he sold to the 10 different
people. Yeah, he sold the piecemeal. All right. Okay, could be. All right, let's move on to Sif Gimel. Okay, so now we have in Sif Aleph was a case which was something which is Asa Bano and Asa Midaraisa. Sif Beis was something which is Asa Midaraisa, but it was not Asa Bano. Now we're getting to the next thing, which is only Asa Midivrei Seifim, only Asa Midarabonan. Sok the Machaba, Sif Gimel. Avala Meichel Lechaveira Dova, She Isachilosa is Midivrei Seifim. Im Hoyu, then, it's going to be a different halacha. If the Paris were around, he must return the Paris to be eligible for a refund. However, if he ate them, he took the right pleasure, he ate the Paris, the Meicha doesn't have to refund his money to him. And the reason being is because here, this halakha really comes from the Rambam. No one really understands where the Rambam got this halakha from, other than to say that all the examples in the Gemara given were always Isurei Midaraisa, or Isanah, which was Midivrei Seifim, but it was Isanah. But there was no case given in the Gemara which was only Asa Midarabanan. So from there, perhaps the Rambam derived this halakha that would be a difference, that something which is only Asa Midarabanan, we do not cancel the seller. And therefore, A, and B, you cannot say Nafsho Shaladim Kaitse Behem, and you didn't get derive Hano, you did derive Hano, it's only also Midrabanan, and therefore there is Hano to reckon with, so even though maybe you should have been entitled to a refund, but now you have to go ahead and pay back the seller for the Hano that you derived. We're going to discuss this. Sorry?
The Meicha did not know that it was also Midrabanan.
The Meicha knew. Even the Meicha knew, but he doesn't deserve a knas because there's only Nisim Midrabana. He's Takan Avayan, but okay, let's do the Ramah. We'll go back to this halakha. This halakha is problematic. Hagazok to Ramah, Machalai mi behema shalai nivdaka. If you sell a behema which was not nivdak, kuroi, now, Midaraisa, you don't have to be Baidik the behema. We can assume that it was kosher, but Midrabana, Chazal mechayiv you to be Baidik, and if you're not Baidik, it's also. So, Havi Kisuru midivrei seifrim, Sharia Bedike hi midivrei seifrim. The Bedik is midivrei seifrim, so this is another example of something which is also Midrabana. And had you eaten from this animal, you have tainus from Mekatayas, let's say you should have had a tainus from Mekatayas, but since you did derive Tano, so that offsets your refund. Now here comes the problem. Everyone wants to know, this is $1 million question, it's a very shrei halacha. It says, V'ena meichel makzeh lo klum. Now normally, let's say I buy something which is, let's say this animal, which is kosher, is $300 I paid, and now it's only asa midrabanan, so let's say it's only worth $200, because for it's asa midrabanan, it's $200. And I ate it, that's true. But Lamaisa, I only received from the seller $200. It was also by no, but it was only $200 worth of pleasure. So why does the Mechaber say, the Rambam say, Ein HaMeicha Makzeh Lo Klum? The Mechaber should say, give me back my $300 and I'll give you in turn back $200 for the pleasure. Net, give me back $100. I deserve $100. I didn't derive full $300 value pleasure out of this item. I only derived the pleasure of something which was asaba no midirvanim, which is only $200. So how come here the Mechaber says in a meikum maksal leklum seemingly it means that he doesn't have to deduct whatsoever. It's not even a mekatoy, so to speak. It's finished. That's it. We call it a day. You keep your money. He keeps his animal, and it's the day. That's it. There's no reckoning anymore. Why is the Mechaber say that the chayyur there should be some reckoning mitzad that the ano was considerably less than the sales price? This is a major problem. Let me give you three. Well, if he didn't eat it, then obviously on the part that he did not eat, he's entitled to a refund.
Okay. Same thing, Paris also,
same. Yes, L'chayra. He said, it just said, assumingly he ate everything. Let me give you three pshatim here. No pshat is great. But I'll give you three pshatim here. And chedushim to try to answer up this machava. The first pshat is the Shitas HaShach. Shach in Yoridei says the following cheshbon. He says that Chazal would never establish an Issa that will affect commerce. If it's going to be that their Issa is Goyrim, taking money out of somebody else, to be mighty mammon from somebody, they never will naim it divrei b'mokum deraisa when it means to be mechayev someone to pay money. And therefore, just play itself out, therefore now, obviously had the lokeach not eaten it, and it would be all ba'en, and it's not usable, it's not fit for eating, so it would be a mekka toys, I give back the item, you give me back my money. But now that the person ate it, and now you want to be mechayev him for hanam, with that you would like to ban that, and say that it is a mekka toys, but only dan dan no, faket, chazal would never ukum de devrayim, b'mokum, that it affects commerce, and they would say that it's not osa. In such a situation where the lokeach already ate it, it was never osa to begin with. It was a kosher animal. And therefore, it's not a mekka tois. It's not a mekka tois b'chah. If half is around, half is not around, it's going to be difficult. And this half, it is a mekka tois, this half is not, it's going to be difficult. This half is treif, this half is not. But Chazal said that if it's going to affect commerce and create a mekka tois, then they didn't apply their issa. And therefore it came out that basically the person ate a kosher animal, there's no grounds for mekka tois, everything yavar lo shalom, he gives his money. Not only that, had he not even paid yet, he'd be mechuyev to pay. He got a kosher animal. That is a shita zashach. It's not even a mekka tois. Not only did he get hanoah from a full animal, but we can take it a step further. It's not b'mokum zeh, it came out nimsa that it wasn't a mekka tois. Right, because that's why I said you could say. Could be you're going to use the denounce that we said before.
You went after Kasha to Kalem?
Perhaps. I don't know. The Shach doesn't discuss Kalem. This is the sheet of the Shach. The Nesivis plays with the Shach, takes it a little further, and says his famous Yesod, and says that when you have something which is awesome with the Raisa, something which is intrinsically also, then even B'shoigig, there is an Issa. However, he said something which is only awesome with the Rabbanan, there's nothing wrong with the item, just Chazal put an Isser on it, so it's an Indian of Loy Saucer. I have to listen to Chazal, I cannot rebel, I cannot do something that Chazal instructed me to do otherwise, so therefore, there is a Loy Saucer. However, if I'm a Shoigeg on an Isser de Rabbanan, the Nesiva says, it came out that I was never over anything, and I don't even have a Chiv for Kapara or Tshuva, when you have an Isser Shoigeg under the Rabbanan, because the Issa de Rabbanan is like saucer. If I didn't know about it, I wasn't rebellious, I wasn't sar midivrayim, so therefore I was never of anything to begin with, so therefore I derived full pleasure from this chayfis, and therefore we reckon as a full kosher animal. So I derived a full $300 pleasure that offsets the money he has to give me back, so I get nothing back. Now don't take this nesivis and apply it, because the achrayim bring raya after raya after raya that even a nesed rabbanan there is a chiv kapara went b'shegeg. But that is nesivis. This is basically the first sheet. The first sheet that tries to accomplish that nothing happened. It was a kosher animal. Second sheet that says a little more difficult. Second sheet that says that no, only had you paid already, are you not entitled to a refund. But had you not paid yet, then you'd only have to give the meitrefa. And they say that the chiv here is midin mishtarshi. It's a different concept, and I'll try to explain the concept in a nutshell. What we're talking about till now is a concept called hanoah. Zenenav is a chasa, you can charge him for the hanoah that he derived from your item. There's a new concept called mishtarshi, that is, that if my item replaced your item, that is, my item caused your item's existence, then I have bialis in your item. I'll give you an example. There was a case in the Gemara, let's say Taisis, let's forget it, let's just, this is a simple example. I have food, and I was about to eat lunch, and I could have used my food, and instead I used your food for lunch, so now my food is still around, so I was mishtarshi, I received a replacement, my food, instead of your food, so therefore your food has somehow, you has somehow bialis in my food, and have a right to mummy for my food, which is remaining around, had I not had your food to eat instead. Now normally by eating, let's say you by accident eat my peris, thinking it was yours, there is no chiv mishtarshi. Taisa says the reason is because I could always tainu, maybe I would have fasted that day, and my food would have still been arranged. The whole sort of mishtarshi is that because of you, your item, now I have an item instead, in its place. Well, if I would have fasted, I would have had that same item anyway. So even though I derived hano, you only could hit me with a chiv hano, and it plays itself out, then end of the chas, or whatever it might be. In this case, it's only hano of a trefa. However, mishtarshi, if I have a kosher animal here, and I used your trefa animal, and therefore my kosher animal is still around, you have bialis in my whole kosher animal. So normally, you cannot charge mishtarshi by a chila, is because you can claim, maybe I would have fasted. Well, that's good enough. Maybe I would have fasted. So you're holding on to the money you had not yet paid. You could say, maybe I would have fasted. There's no chiv mishtarshi. And I would only have to give you the meitrefa. And the mechaber is only talking about a case where I already paid. So now the moicha is muksik, and the moicha comes to a taina. I was mishtarish you. I gave you the animal that's sitting in your corral. Your kosher animal is there only because I supplied you an animal in its stead, and therefore I, so to speak, own or have rights to your kosher animal sitting in your corral. And therefore he minimizes this halacha that it's only talking about a case where it was already paid. It's a difficult concept. Let's move on to the third because it's getting late. The third concept is a pre-chodesh, and he just says, basically, is a kasha, is a good kasha, and obviously Machab is only talking about a case where there's no difference in price between kosher and treif. He gives a marshal of gvinas akum, where gvina, kosher, gvinas akum is sold for the same price. Or, for that matter, we can apply today, you have a suit which is shatnez, a suit which is not shatnez, is sold for the same price. So therefore, the hanah that you derive was full hanah, even though it was treif, even though it was shatnez, you derive full hanah, and therefore, it offsets the price you paid. But Enechanaim Prichad said, had it been that the hanah you derived was only the made treifa, lower, and he means basically he's saying that this machab is not talking about the similar cases of the machab before. So a whole new case where the hanah that you derive, the made treifa, is the same price as the make sheira, that's when the machab says, in max aloy klum, because we deduct the hanah that you have.
Why couldn't the Rabbah give a case that we was a badai treifa, but there are badai? There's a suffix treifa.
Which case is a suffix treifa? Well, there was grada. It's grada awesome mid rabban and vaday, right? Because once you don't have a bedika, the chazal asked you to eat it for sure. But the Reki Vega is madaik from here that even if it would be only a suffix, you can look at Reki Vega that even if only a suffix, we still have the whole same halachas of mekatoyis and whatever it may be. And if it would be awesome mid rice mid suffix, then we have halacha aleph and beis. You can, but well, the Ramah is talking about a case which is awesome. Machab as well. I'll take one more question, then I want to go to Sivdah because I see it's getting late.
Okay, I was thinking about that question. If we don't have the svar of Nashe Katzavahim, so when this person ate it, he thought he was eating something kosher, he had the hanah of something kosher when he ate it. He found out later it wasn't kosher. It didn't take away from that hanah.
That's true.
The hanah was full kosher hanah.
That's true. However, you want to charge for hanah, you can't charge more than the actual item. If I go into somebody and he has a box of cereal which is $3, and I am head over heels about the cereal and I derive a $6 worth of pleasure from this cereal, he can only charge me $3 because he can't own more than he owns. The whole concept of zenevzelachos is that he is the miyachas, the hanah that I derive from his item, is taking away from his item, so he's the balance of that item, he could charge me. He can't charge him more than the item is actually worth. All right, let's move on to Sif Dalet. Kol Isuri Hanoah, all Isur Hanoah. Now again, Sif Aleph was Isur Midoraisa and Asur Banoah. Sif Beis was Isur Midoraisa but not Asur Banoah. Sif Gimel was Isur Midorabanan, not Asur Banoah. Sif Dalet is just Isur Banoah. Time Midivrei Torah, time Midivrei Seferim. Kol Isuri Hanoah, Bei Midivrei Torah, Bei Midivrei Seferim, Magzir Es Adomim, Ve'ein Behem Din Mechira Klal. Something which is also banah, and presumably we're talking about the similar cases, even though I ate it, since it's also banah, so I wasn't chasar, he didn't have any chasarin because he couldn't do anything with it anyway, so maybe it'll be zenin of zala chasar, so he cannot deduct anything from my hanah, so I'm entitled to a full refund because it's also behanah. And Max is a dumma vein ben din mechira klal. Here I would like to shtel on the Lashon HaMachab, which I was meramif to previously. The Machabi here, unlike in Reish Lam Vev Zeich Lam Gimel, which normally he says, Mekach Toys, Mishneim Yechonam Lachzabem, the Nesani Yochel Lachzabem, all the Chazaris, the dynamics of Chazaris, you have to file a complaint, he lodges a complaint, I want to file a refund, whatever it is. He just says, Ve'ein behem din mechira klal. And the reason is because something which is also banah, the Rishonim say, and the Achronim say, is not transferable. Something which is also banah, you cannot sell, and therefore it's not pshat, means aside from the fact that it's a mekach toys because it was unfit for my use, it's a mekach toys because there was no mekach to begin with. Even if it would be fit for my use, it's a mekach toys. Because you cannot transfer something which is also banah. You cannot sell something which is also banah. So it never left your possession. You might still be able to charge it for hanah, and that's why you need the surah that's also banah, so zenev zel achosa. But to say that the mechiri is bottled, you don't need to have a chazara to make this mechiri bottled. You don't need, there won't be a shir kadesh yivel atag, there won't be mishtamshis, won't buy a mechila. Even if I knew better and I still eat it, it's not a mechila. It never transferred hands. And therefore, just to allude to a shalom which we once had, when you buy shvias or peris, which are surah banah, let's say from Shaprite, Chometz Shavu Olava Pesach, let's say you have cases, Chometz B'Pesach, which is also banah, then what would end up happening is that the Mechira didn't take place at all. And therefore, if we want to know, can you go back? We once discussed, are you allowed to go back to the seller? Or are you now deriving hanor from the item, making the exchange and getting a refund of your money? Well, you can kind of, if it was also by hanor, there was no sale to begin with. It looked like a sale, it smelled like a sale, but there was no sale because you cannot sell something which also by hanor. However, there is a nekuda which might make ShopRite different, and that is the Avnim Lum Shita is, the Ksois Avnim Lum Shita is that something which is Asav Anor is not transferable only mitzad v'moicha. A lokeach could buy and acquire something which is Asav Anor. The problem is that the seller cannot sell it and transfer the bialis. But if, let's say, it's Hefko, you could buy it and it now belongs to you. So if you have ShopRite, who's a guy who's trying to sell it, and they have no problem selling something which is Asav Anor, because it's not Asav Anor for them, and you're a Yiddish buyer, it would come out that even like Tiksois, Avni Malum, will come out that the Mechir did take place. The seller could sell it, because for him, it's not Asabana, he's a guy, and the buyer has no problem buying Yisrael, so then it would be that you bought it, and then it would be a Shaila, how you're allowed to go back to ShopRite and ask for an exchange. Someone's pointed out, well, ShopRite got it from Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, the sellers are Yidden, so it ended up that ShopRite doesn't own it anyway, because it's really the Yiddish farm in Eretz Yisrael. Sorry?
He couldn't sell it.
And he couldn't sell it, so then in economy, then the tables were returned, and then it was never ShopRite, so never mind, and then I would be entitled to a refund. But that's basically the dynamics that you have to go work with these dynamics. But at least in the Lashon HaMechaber, Ein Bem Din Mechira Kal, to allude to this, that there's no Din Chazar, it's not Mechmes Mechak Tois, it's Ein Bem Mechira Kal, because nothing was Chal, because it's Asa Behano. I would like to be Messiah, now that we finished Baruch Hashem, Reish Lama Beis, Reish Lama Gim, Reish Lama Dal, which is the Hilchus of Mekak Tois, like I said, Yetz Hashem, next week we'll start a new Inyan. The Gemara says that when you come to the place in the Midbar where Moshe Rabbeinu sat on the rock, on the har, you have to make a bracha, She'osa nisim la'vesena b'mokam hazeh. And the Chayinim ask a shayla, on the har where Moshe Rabbeinu stood, he raised his hands. That's where the nest took place. The nest took place down in the battlefield where the Klal Yisrael were fighting the battle. That was the nest. When they won, when the Nitzachon took place in the battlefield. So, l'chay, if I go to the place where the battlefield is, that's where I should make the bracha. If I go to the har, maybe I should daven there. It's a mokum masuga for tefillah, but first I should make a bracha there that the nes took place for mokum hazeh. And I heard the following teretz, and that is that the Nitzachon could be the battlefield taka was down there, but obviously the Nitzachon, what created the Nitzachon, what caused the Nitzachon, the hachana, the groundwork for the Nitzachon, was b'malkam Isaiah. The tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that he raised his hands to Shemayim, that tefillah, that was really the malkam of the battle. That was really where the Nitzachon took place, and that's why the chiyuv bracha is over there. Similarly, we have in this week's Haftarah, but it talks about the Nitzachon, the Shira of Devarah. Well, in the Pesukim, it talks about Midian, it talks about other things, and Chazal Dash, and the Elo Tamid HaChomim, and the Torah that was learned, and vice versa, Chazal attribute the success and the Nitzachon to the Torah. And that's, I heard this Prat B'Shem Rav Kaiser, Sukhanel Levracha, and he said the same word, is why in the Shira is over there, we're talking about the Torah learned, is because the Nitzachon of the battle, the Nitzachon of the war, was won in the Beis HaMedrash. The war was won by the Talmid HaChachamim, by the Torah learned. If we can apply it to Chayshe Mishpat, when we want to fear in business, Al Pi Halacha, and in Chayshe Mishpat, we want to do what's right, and Al Pi Halacha, and what's Erlich, even though the battlefield might be over there, but the Mokam Hazer, the Neis, Lavaseinu, the Mokam of the Limud, is really where the battlefield takes place. Those people who learn Chayshe Mishpat and know Chayshe Mishpat could obviously win the battle to apply Chayshe Mishpat, and that's where the Nitzachon is. If you don't know Chayshe Mishpat, then obviously there's no hope in the battlefield. So therefore, the Nitzachon, if we could make a Shechiyonu on finishing Mekach Tais, the Shechiyonu should be here, and should also Nisim to us, for Mokam Hazer. Good luck.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.